Your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And this is again the Word of God. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Thus far in the reading of God's Word. Let us pray. Lord our God, we come unto Thee once again and ask Thy blessing upon our souls that we may receive the blessing of the Scriptures that have been read and will now be declared. We pray for Thy strength and Thy power. Keep us, O Lord, from a false doctrine. And we ask, Lord, that we may know the truth and that the truth will set us free. We ask, Lord, that Thou wouldst attend the preaching of Thy Word by the wonderful and mighty loving power of Thy Holy Spirit. For the honor and the sake of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation, the Lord gives us a number of commands in this chapter. And the one promise that we rejoice in is the one at the beginning of verse 6, but he giveth more grace. And I trust, beloved, that you know the need of more grace. We never can have too much. We can never have enough grace. Being still at war with the old man, we need God's help. We need his grace and his wisdom as James has been developing this. Then, as he gives a grace unto the humble at the end of verse 6, there are a number of admonitions that he says that we're to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, draw nigh to God, cleanse your hands, and so on. We're going to look at these commands in the weeks to come as being that which get that which you require grace for. You need grace in order to fulfill these commands. So we want to remember this morning, beloved, that the devil is a real person. He does desire your failure. If you are in Christ, you are automatically the enemy of Satan. He hates you. He despises you. He wants every evil to fall upon you. He wants you to rise up high in your spiritual life so that he can bring you down if possible. But we know that we are secure in Christ, but we know that you are the special target of Satan. He hates you. And what does he really hate? He hates the Christ that dwells within you, doesn't he? He hates the Lord Jesus. And it's the reason that the world hates us, because they hate Christ. They hate God, they hate his sovereignty, and Satan hates. He hates that he's going to be destroyed in the end. He knows. He can read the Bible as well as you. He knows that he's going to be destroyed, but he's not going without a fight. And we can think of how persevering he is, but how, in a way, how weak he is, how doomed he is to failure. When we think even of Christmas time, here comes the Lord Jesus, the mighty God, and he comes as a little baby. And what does Satan do? He says, I can kill a baby. It's not hard to kill a baby. The helpless, defenseless, I can kill a baby. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't even do something as simple as that, because this is the Son of God. And all of his life is protected, and his people's lives are protected as well. So we want to look this evening at three things to what we will receive, who we are to resist, and then the results of that. So we're to receive grace. God gives more grace. Verse 6, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So, we're to humble ourselves to receive that grace. Humility, true humility, is always a working of God's Holy Spirit. We can't humble ourselves in our own strength. But the command is there, isn't it? The command is there to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, Peter says. But we are to submit ourselves to God, to yield to his word, his commands, and we need grace. We need grace daily. And we need more grace, grace upon grace. We need God's help at every hour. And so we're to submit ourselves then under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, because he gives grace unto the humble. And we're to serve him and worship him in humility. And then we are to resist the devil. Resist the devil with the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said, if you are to have peace with God, there must be war with Satan. You cannot rest in your spirit and know the peace which faith gives unless you wage war to the knife against every evil and against the patron and prince of evil, even Satan. Are you ready for this? You cannot have peace unless you are. It occurs whether this is the reason sometimes for anxiety in the Christian life. Are we actively resisting the devil? Or are we just hoping that he won't get the better of us? And the word here is for warfare. We're to resist the devil. We're to actively fight against him. And be aware, we're not ignorant, Paul tells the Corinthians, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And one of the wonderful Puritans of bygone days, named Thomas Brooks, wrote a book called Precious Remedies Against the Devices of Satan. And he goes through and says, yeah, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. The word there is Satan's mind, Satan's way of thinking. We're not ignorant. He's more clever than we are. He's more sly and wily than you or I. And that's why we resist him with the grace of God in the Lord Jesus. But at the end of that book by Thomas Brooks, he gives 10 ways to resist the devil. And so I'd like to borrow Thomas Brooks's outline. I don't think we're going to get through all 10 of them this evening, very likely, but I'm sure we'll have enough to equip us for the battle that we have with Satan. 10 ways to resist the devil. So Thomas Brooks says that you first of all should be ruled by the Word of God. ruled and governed by the Word of God. So as we said this morning, you're going to be governed either by God or by Satan. You're going to submit to God or to Satan. And God rules you by His Spirit, but also by His Word. So Proverbs 12:24 says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." So there is diligence in studying God's Word and the ways of the Lord by which you are going to bear rule even over your own soul. Galatians 6 verse 16, "As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." So what better defense or whatever better preparation for the battle than to be governed by the Word of God? To let it have sway in your life, to have it control your thoughts and your actions. Why am I doing this? Because God tells me to. Because God instructs me. God has guided me. So be governed by the Word of God. And it must have preeminence in your life. To read it, to understand it, to study it, but most of all to apply it. So that we're living the precepts of God. We're becoming more and more holy, more and more Christ-like. Secondly, beware of grieving the Holy Spirit. And that is a warning that the Lord gives to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Quench not the Spirit." Quench not the Spirit of God. Interesting command, because it implies that we can. That we can have the Spirit and yet quench the Spirit by our sin or our sinful actions or desires. Isaiah, at the end of Isaiah chapter 63, he recounts the history of Israel and he says, "But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them." So it began by their vexing his Holy Spirit. God said, "Go up and take the land." They said, "No, we can't. We're fearful." Isaiah says they vexed God's Holy Spirit. So we need to be aware that the Holy Spirit indwells you and that you need to enjoy that fellowship with Him. Thirdly, we should pursue wisdom. This has already been a part of James's message. Pursue wisdom with singleness of heart, singleness of mind. Don't be double-minded. When you ask God for wisdom, He'll give to all men that ask. Not only will He give, He'll give liberally, and He will upbraid not. He won't say, He won't rebuke you for asking. He won't accuse you of being stupid or silly. You'll say you've come to the right place. You are ignorant. You need wisdom. And I'm going to give it to you. So it's part of our being humble before the Lord to say life is greater than what I can handle. Satan as my enemy is greater than what I can handle. And I need your wisdom. I need your help. Not just your protecting power, but the means also by which that power is brought to bear on my soul so that I can resist, fight against the ways of the devil. Proverbs 15:24 says, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." And so to pursue wisdom is to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, He says, resist temptation as soon as it comes to you. So don't trifle with sin. Don't play with temptation. Don't wonder how long you can keep it at bay. But recognize it for what it is, Satan's attempt to lure you into sin so that your testimony will be destroyed or weakened. And just be careful that you're not arguing against God. Or arguing against providence, that the things that have happened to you have happened for the sake of the gospel. Brooks says it is safe to resist, it is dangerous to dispute or argue with God. He points out that Eve disputed and fell, and Job resisted and conquered. So Adam and Eve argued with God. I'm not sure that you know what's best for us, and plunged all of us into a life of sin and misery. But Job resisted the evil that befell him, resisted even the taunting of his wife, curse God and die. And he stood fast and fought against the devil. And there in Job is just such a wonderful picture of how Satan actively came against Job and wanted him for his own. He sifted him as wheat, but the Lord prayed for him. So as soon as it comes to you, resist temptation. Say, this is not where I want to go. I know where this is leading, and that requires the wisdom of God. Sometimes we get these temptations, we think that it's going to be harmless, but if you can see where it's leading, you see that it's going to lead you away from holiness, away from the Lord, that's the point at which you say, I better find something else to think about, something else to do, something else to study, something else to pursue. Resist temptation as soon as it comes upon you. Fifthly, he says, seek to be filled with God's Spirit. Seek to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18 commands us to be filled with the Spirit and sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So it's a desire that you ought to have and pray for. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your knowledge. Fill me with your power and the righteous desires. Brooks says, be filled with the Spirit as the sails of a ship are filled with wind. Isn't that a fascinating picture? Be filled with the Spirit as the sails of a ship are filled with wind, and they just are motivated. They're full to the full. We don't live on the coast. We don't have so many sailboats here, but we've seen pictures of sailboats filled with the wind that just propels them, governs them, directs them. And so, beloved, we need to be filled with the Spirit. How wonderfully we'll be able to do battle against the devil when we are walking with the Lord, when we're not vexing the Spirit, but are filled with the Spirit and rejoicing to do His will. Beloved, if you think that you have enough of the Spirit, you are going to be an easy prey for Satan, aren't you? He is going to come after you and be successful if you think, well, I don't need any more of the Spirit than I already have. But plead the Spirit continually be filled with the Spirit. And possessing the Spirit is different than being filled with the Spirit and being moved to do the will of the Lord. So seek to be filled with the Spirit. It's going to place you in active opposition to the onslaught of Satan. He is going to come after you, but you're going to be filled with the Spirit to resist him. You're going to be thinking of God's ways. You're going to be active in the service of the Lord. Sixthly, keep humble. Psalm 25, verse 9 says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. You need that humility. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And it's a very dangerous place to be in the place of self-confidence. Him who thinks he stands is the person with self-confidence. The person who's trusted in past successes, even though they can be traced to the work of God in your heart, you can trust in those. Well, I've done well. I've done better. I've done increasingly well. But I'm going to be fine. I can I don't have to be so diligent with the means of grace. I don't have to be so diligent in following the Lord. I'm going to be fine. That's the man who thinks he stands, because he is sure to fall. He's not standing in the strength of the Lord. He's not humble. And he is proud in his Christian life, if you can imagine such a thing. But there is that anomaly in the Christian life, that there's pride in our successes. And again, James says, "He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And what is that going to do? It's going to leave Satan powerless against you. And we'll come up to another aspect of this here in a while. But when you keep humble, beloved, you're admitting your own weakness and acknowledging that you need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep humble. Seventh, be constantly on guard. And this is where, as Christians, we all often find the great deal of difficulty. We're always to be on watch, because Satan does not sleep, and he's always looking for an opportunity to pull us down. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, Paul says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Watching and soberness, sobriety in the Christian life. Being careful and being on guard, knowing that Satan is after you. The similar admonition is given by Peter in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. "Be sober," he also says. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So there is an aggressive picture of Satan wandering around, seeking to draw Christ's saints away from him. And we need to be on guard. We can be secure, falsely secure, in false safety. And so the Lord says, even though he's conquered the devil, he has said to be sober and vigilant. Peter goes on to say, "Whom resist?" Like James, Peter says, "Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So beware of Satan, who goes about as a roaring lion. We need to constantly be on guard, beloved, and not let our guard down. Then be in continual communion with God, knowing that God indwells you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" And he warns there in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, be careful what you do with your body, because it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And specifically, he says, you can't have communion with an harlot and still have communion with God. You profess that the Holy Spirit dwells within you, not just dwells within you, but is your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're not your own. So don't break that fellowship. Sin breaks that fellowship. And in a sense, makes havoc of the temple of the Holy Ghost. Again, Thomas Brooks says, "A soul in high communion with God may be tempted, but will not easily be conquered." Think about what glory there is in being in communion with the Lord. The more you walk with the Lord, the less you're interested in the temptations and the things that Satan brings to lure you. Your fellowship with God is the strength of your resisting temptation. Just as you grow in grace and the things of the world become less and less attractive. We were speaking when I mentioned about entertainment this morning. Some were talking about how that we've experienced this, where you have a hotel on vacation and you say, well, we don't have TV or TV network at home, so we'll see what's on TV. We haven't watched TV for a while. There must be something. I don't know why we think it's going to get better, but somehow you think it must be better than the last time we watched. And what do? You spend 20 minutes going through 200 channels. You can't find a single thing that interests you. It's very remarkable. There's just nothing on. Why? Because it just doesn't interest you. As you grow in grace, your interests become heightened spiritually. You become more and more interested in the things of the Lord, in knowing Him, knowing about Him, knowing Christ, knowing the Holy Spirit, knowing the way of salvation, knowing the wonders of God's Word, knowing the glories of His salvation. Those are the things that become more and more fascinating. But if you become fascinated with the things of the world, Satan will grab on that. He'll pull you away, pull you aside. But it's a wonderful thing to look back on your Christian life and say, things that used to tempt me are no longer alluring to me. Doesn't mean that they can't be. Again, we should not think that we stand lest we fall, but it's good to observe that. I used to be tempted by this or by that, and the Lord has just taken away all interest in that. Not only has He taken it away, He's replaced it with better things, placed it with a regard for my soul and a desire to have my soul grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So continue in that communion with the Lord. Number 9, do not engage Satan in your own strength. And that's related to being, to all the others really, being humble, being on guard. If we're not those things, if we're not actively engaged in those things, you are going to try to engage Satan in your own strength. And that is a very dangerous place for you and I to be. To battle Satan, who is extremely powerful, extremely wise, not as wise or as powerful as Christ, but he is amazingly powerful and by far more powerful than you or I, by far more wise and knowing than you or I. And what a picture we had of that in Zechariah 3 that we read earlier. Zechariah says, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Here Satan is resisting the Lord Jesus, but Jesus is standing by the high priest, Joshua, who, interestingly, how would you say Joshua in Greek? Jesus. In English, you would say Jesus. So his name is Jesus, which gives him that close identity to the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord Jesus, says, I am standing by my servant. I'm standing by the one that I've called to be the high priest. Satan is fighting against him. Satan wants him to fall and to fail, but I am standing with him. And what does he say? He says, the Lord rebuke thee. He doesn't rebuke Satan directly. He says, the Lord rebuke thee, because his victory is in the Lord. His help is in the Lord. His direction is from the Lord. And he gives them that wonderful profession of his faith. The Lord rebuke thee. Sometimes wonder about people who are directly rebuking Satan. it's just wise to acknowledge that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord rebuked thee, Satan. And what a wonderful picture and description then that we have of Joshua realizing that his garments are filthy and that he needs to be clothed in clean garments. And the Lord Jesus taking off the filthy garments, putting on the righteousness of Christ, putting on the righteousness, the holiness, the clean garments of Christ's imputed righteousness. It's a beautiful doctrine that's visibly illustrated in that book of Zechariah. And the Lord defending his servant, his certain servant under attack of Satan. And the Lord says, I will help you. And that's a good thing to be aware of as well, that God sees everything that Satan does to his elect. He recognizes all the temptations that come upon them. And he does sometimes wait for you to cry out for that deliverance. Deliver me, O Lord, from my great enemy. Deliver me. He's stronger than me. He's getting me down. Lord, deliver me. Take off my back. Get thee behind me, Satan, is what the Lord Jesus said, even when Peter came to tempt him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee hence, he said in the wilderness to Satan. Get thee hence. You have no business attacking my elect. And then, of course, Paul gives that good advice also in Ephesians 6. Put on, therefore, beloved, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So God gives you this wonderful equipment and clothes you with the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, your loins girt about. All of these things the Lord gives you to do battle specifically against the devil, against the wiles of the devil. The beloved, we're no match for the devil, but God is our victory. The tenth thing that Thomas Brooks gives is to pray constantly. And beloved, when you're in this communion with God, not just with His truth, but when you're in prayerful communion with God, you're going to be aware of whose you are and whom you serve. You're going to be aware that Satan may come after you, but you're in communion with the God that he hates. You're praying, you're fellowshipping with that God. And as you continue in that constant praying, pray without ceasing, you're going to remember that this is the God that I have a relationship with. I'm not just sending words up to the ceiling. I'm communing and praying, having a relationship, a conversation with the true and the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my Savior that I'm speaking to. He's promised to help. He will help. And all of these things, beloved, then put you in that frame of mind that keep you from falling away to temptation, but also help you to recognize that Satan wants you to fall, that he's coming after you in his cleverness. It keeps you on the side of Christ. It keeps you in the way of Christ. And all of this, of course, is through our humility. Not our humility, but the humility that Christ gives us, that he gives more grace to resist the devil, to be involved in that battle against the wicked one. James says then that the result of this, we receive God's grace, we resist the devil actively doing battle against him. The result is what? Satan will flee from you. If you resist the devil rather than welcoming him with open arms or engaging him, talking to him, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And the word here is interesting. It means to run away from danger. So Satan will say, this is no place for me. I need to get out of here. Isn't that interesting? Thing to say about Satan. He talked about how powerful he is, how much more powerful the Christ is, and he will see this person is hidden in Christ. He's rejoicing in Christ. I need to get out of here before I have to face Christ face to face. I need to get out of here. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Which is a reminder again, he does not fear you. He fears Christ who dwells in you. He fears Christ whose possession you are. And when you are found in Christ, he will leave you. So the first result is that he will flee from you. The second, beloved, is that you will be able to serve the Lord with a clear conscience. You'll be able to say, I didn't dally with sin. I didn't entertain the idea of sin. And God kept me, Christ preserved me, and I can carry on serving him victoriously. Thomas Manton says, the right comparison is between the fruit of sin and the fruit of victory. Fruit of sin is guilt and shame, and the fruit of victory is to overcome. He says, we have often had experience what it is to be overcome. Let us now make trial how sweet victory will be. Nothing reveals the power and comfort of Christianity so much as the spiritual conflict. To experience that victory, to experience Christ having delivered you and giving you victory over sin is one of the most wonderful experiences of the Christian life. To know that you've conquered sin through the power of Christ when you felt as though you were overwhelmed, as we read in Psalm 35, the enemies of the Lord seemed to prevail. He said, consider the hopes of prevailing. Satan is a frustrated enemy. Christ has overcome him already. To resist him rather than to yield to him is the only way to be rid of him. Be confident that you have help. Satan is a roaring lion. Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah to resist him. If Satan is an accuser, Christ is an advocate. So whatever he brings against you, Christ is your answer to the wiles of the devil. So, beloved, let us hate sin. Recognize Satan as your wicked and vile enemy, but rest in Christ for strength to overcome. And may the Lord give us that good victory to make us overcomers for the sake of Christ. Let us pray. Once again, O Lord, we come unto thee and we give thanks for thy wonderful grace. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give unto us humility before thee, that we may submit ourselves unto thee. We pray that we may not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We pray that we may be wise and resist the devil. We thank thee for the promise that when we rest and abide in the Lord Jesus and commune with him, that the devil will flee from us. Lord, give us victory. Make us to be overcomers. We ask thee in the name of Christ, the great overcomer. Amen.